Episode 58, Joshi 2010's Journey continues on here. I'm JD, Red Leaf Retrocast, Retrocast Patreon. Here we go. It is a joint show and one of the first ones we're covering on this journey out of the dark ages of Joshi professional wrestling. And it's JWP and Ice Ribbon, a couple promotions on this journey we've really paid close attention to. Particularly JWP, as we've gone through the last couple years. Oz Academy keeps doing their own thing. Sendai Girls is, with the earthquake, and, they're not really doing anything in general. They're off in the mud. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with Catch the Wave, which is going on at this point in time. In 2012, and the last episode was covered the entire 2012 Catch the Wave. Highly encourage everyone to check that out. Join the Patreon, get access to the Google Drive, bought the DVD. It was quite the trial and tribulation to get that sucker. So that includes, I mean, it's a four disc set, basically. Covers every single block, every match. Nothing's cut, really, to my knowledge. It's the full thing, and it I'd like to thank everyone who's contributed to this Patreon to that is interested in listening and interested in watching and helping out with everything to get that show done. That was a big one. And with Wave kind of catching some steam in 2012, a little bit. I don't agree with all of their moves. I don't agree with a lot of their business practices. I don't agree with their booking, for sure. And then there's, well, regardless, they've really taken advantage of the Toshi Yamatsu retirement tour and leading that into the start of Catch the Wave and how they really focused on, and they're focusing on, a lot more young talent. And that leads us to Ice Ribbon and JWP. Ice Ribbon's gone through an exodus of Emi Sakura and her crew. And JWP, they have a tough time catching something. We all see the talents there from now. Arisa Nakajima's come back. Command Bolshoi is a very good veteran. They got a couple young talents that they're training. They can get in a Masaki Iwata and Ayumi Kurihara if they choose, if the roster spot's available for a show. They got Sachi Abe, they got Kayuka Horiyama, but there needs to be some fresh injection for them to really click with the audience. And something like this joint show, I can see why they wanted to do that. It helps out both promotions. Ice Ribbon's trying to get back on track with a lot of talent lost. Everyone's young, they need experience. And on the other hand, JWP needs a spark of something of interest. So this J-Ribbon show that took place on July 28th, 2012 at Yokohama Radiant Hall, I think was that was the objective, based on what we know and how we've seen the last couple of years play out. Now, they only got 175 people to the show. And you might think about that number and go, well, that sounds pretty bad for a place that when you sell it out, you can get like 450 in this place, to my knowledge. So I would have liked to see, you know, let's get 250, 300 in there. But then you look at the card up and down. It is a special tag tournament. All the first rounds on the DVD were shown in clips, and in reality, not really worth talking about. It's a lot of the rookie talent getting beaten and leading up to these semifinal matches and the final matches. So that's how that worked out there. And the shtick is, it is a JWP wrestler teaming with an Ice Ribbon wrestler for a nice little one-night tournament. Okay? Now, would be nice, and I can see why they only got 175, is if the show was, and this program was built up more in terms of what you'd like to see of a joint wrestling show. And I mean that as in, and I couldn't find any evidence. We've watched a number of shows, especially their more important ones. Couldn't find any evidence of these people crossing over into the promotion to kind of quote unquote invade, if you will, or there's no such thing as angles leading to this. So the whole idea of, well, we're just going to run a joint show, and so surely we'll just sell tickets off that idea. It's never the case. You know, you might get some little hype online and on message boards, and in 2023, you might get your Discord and other people going, oh, okay, I'm really interested in that show. And then you watch it and you go, okay, that show was pretty good, but what it was meant to accomplish didn't accomplish it. So it has to be considered a failure, especially at 175. Did I enjoy the show? I absolutely did. I thought it was pretty good. It was a nice little time. I had a few good matches in there. But coming out of it, I go, okay, now what? What are we doing? Are the winners going to challenge for both companies' tag titles? Are they going to make a joint decision on what the next step is? We don't really. There's no answers to any of that. It's just a nice little one-off. And I think that's missed opportunities. We see that happen all too often when all these companies start struggling or they want to get back on track in some way to sell tickets, that they just think that just doing the show will sell enough. And you know what? Maybe that will. Maybe that does work for the one time. But the objective is to get people to go to your shows after that, not just be interested in your one show. I'll look at the most recent Cork and Hall big interpromotional junior show. And when the show was first announced, everyone in the circles of wrestling, Puro and the like, were going, oh, okay, that's a cool idea. Awesome. It's going to remind us of the stuff from the 90s, you know, with Liger and his tournaments. And then you see the card and you go, okay, it's a little tag matches and trios. You go, okay. And you watch it and go, all right, so that match was good. This one was okay. And then no one ever talks about it again, and it led to nothing. Did it actually inject any interest in the junior division of these promotions? No. Not really. Not at all, in fact. So that's where I'm driving here with my takeaway from the show. Let's get into the card and the results. And what I thought of each match, what I thought was done well, and who's standing out. Because that's ultimately another aspect of the show, was there were no heavy veterans in this tournament. Okay? Kyoko Hariyama and company, not in it. Emi Sakura, I know she's out, but I'm just kind of throwing her name out there. Not in it. A couple of the other Ice Ribbon talents that you'd like to see. Maybe they were in the first round. Regardless. So what we got was an opener. Basically, the veteran talent that you think would draw wasn't in there. So now the idea was, we're going to focus on young talent and people that matter, and they're going to push our promotion forward. Great idea. Let's do something a little bit more with that. Our opener is Mari defeating Nana Kawasa in a 9-minute, 39-second slog of a match. Just two people with no charisma in the bathing suits, rookies, going almost 10 minutes. Not the way I'd start the show at all. But it's an Ice Ribbon rookie against a JWP rookie, essentially. Or no, Mari's the veteran. And Kawasa, yeah, Mari's that wacky veteran that came back. My mistake. I think she was trained by Karu Ito, and that's why probably she has no fashion sense. But anyways. First semifinal match is Hanako Nakamori and Maki Narumiya defeating the team of, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Tsukasa Fujimoto and Rabbit Miyu. Yes, Tsukasa was teaming with the Rabbit Girl. Now, this Maki Narumiya Hanako Nakamori team kind of ruled, because we've seen Narumiya challenge Hikaru Shida for the Infinity title over Nice Ribbon recently. And Hanako Nakamori is on the rise with her kind of good catch the wave appearances there. Didn't really like her in the heel block, but she's gaining steam in JWP herself. And that's something you'd like to see. The match was actually pretty good with Narumiya and Nakamori going up against Fujimoto. Fujimoto is really hitting her stride now. The last couple months, And in 2012 in particular, she's 2 years into her kind of push for Ice Ribbon and being champion and passing, putting Hikaru Shida over was big. All of that's going on. And now her ring game is really taking it up to the next level, because this was an 8-minute match of basically all Fujimoto with short Rabbit Miyu kind of stints in between. Narumi is looking good, and there was an epiphany I had where I'm watching a Stardom show, and there's multiple people from Starlight Kid to Mina Shirakawa and Suzu Suzuki. They're all doing this jump, sit on the turnbuckle and kicking a person in the head. It's a nice little slick move. Tekla does it too. And I just couldn't put my finger on who did that move back in. Well, it's Maki Narumiya. She's got all the wacky kicks. And Nakamori kind of, she doesn't go to that extent. She just has kind of high kicks, but very kick-heavy team. I enjoyed this. I recommend checking this match out strictly for the development of Fujimoto and how much better she has gotten. So that's a big sign for maybe why Ice Ribbon just relied on Fujimoto once Shida is inevitably going to leave and company, because she's just levels above a lot of the young talent going on. We just watched Catch the Wave, where Tsukasa Fujimoto just had multiple just very good matches going through that tournament. The Yumi Yoko one really stands out. So again, I can't stress enough, go listen to that episode, watch the shows. Very impressive stuff. And then we got arguably the match of the night here. I thought this was booked tremendously. I thought this was a great way to get everyone hyped up for the finals, because it's Bolshoi and Hikari Minami taking on this team of Arisa Nakajima and Hikaru Shida. So yeah, Nakajima and Fujimoto, they're not teaming together just yet, but Nakajima and Shida, here we go. And this was fantastic. So Hikari Minami, for those that may have forgotten at this point in time, she was crowned Ice Ribbon Champion at like a couple years ago, and she's just sort of fallen to the wayside. She's got horrid gear. She's a teenager. Imagine if Stardom would have made Hanan the Red Belt Champion a year or so ago. You'd be like, okay, I guess I really believe in her, but she's clearly not ready, and there's a lot of talent above her. Okay. Would it be the worst decision in the world? I mean, in Stardom's current standing, yeah. In, like, maybe a 2014 Stardom, if Hanan was in that same case. You know, you have that kind of same Momo Watanabe going over Yoshirai scenario there. But that's who Hikari Minami kind of was. And now she's got new gear. She actually looks like a wrestler again. She's teaming with Bolshoi, and all of this was really good. Nakajima, she's not hitting as hard as we'd like her to see yet. Shida is a powerhouse machine. She's got six-pack abs. She's in tremendous shape. You'd like to see the gear look a little better here as well. But that's kind of par for the course in the early 2010s, is no one has good gear. No one takes the time or energy to really, I guess, know how they need to dress, or they can't afford the materials and someone to do it. You know, it's a good sign of, it's a big sign of the promotion is the gear. If the gear is looking really good, then the promotion's doing really well financially, and so are the wrestlers. When the gear starts going downhill, you go, okay, you're kind of looking at it going, I don't know. If you see one or two wrestlers kind of sticking out with the good gear, and all the others are still not quite there, maybe they have some other ventures, or they're getting paid more and they're sticking on top. I'm kind of pointing to signs of Ice Ribbon in post-2020. So yeah, Nakajima and Shida, they molded very well together, and Bolshoi was a glue of this match, because Nakajima's just come back, so she's a little rusty in terms of these high-end tag matches, and Hikaru Minami is very young, so this tandem worked out so well, with Bolshoi being able to direct traffic for Minami when to go where, because you can kind of see her motioning with her hands a lot, or just straight up pointing, get her. And then whenever it was kind of a one-on-two situation, it was always Nakajima and Shida teaming together. They really utilized these 15 minutes super well, and I went 2 out of 3 on this. Why? Well, because it went to a draw, and instead of just both teams knocked out, and then you just have a winner with no finals, they go, we're going to have a sudden death match. So the sudden death went 2 minutes. And they sold the exhaustion super well. And then the frantic pace that they ran at the 2 minutes was, it was that sort of wobbly leg. They're really exerting themselves, but really selling it super great. Everything worked out so well. And Nakajima and Shida win this match over Bolshoi Minami. Like I said, 2 out of 3. I might go back and rewatch this one for a second go around, but this was great. Highly recommend Nakajima and Shida. Great team. And then we got a lull period, which wasn't very exciting. We did get Tsubasa Kurigaki defeating Manami Katsu in a 12-minute match. Kurigaki is just this vacuum of charisma. She's just got nothing going on. She's a good wrestler. She can move well. She's got size. She's got good lariats. A good-looking offense. But there's just nothing to her. So this is why I go back to when, okay, they played out the story where she won the title from Gaijin Foreigner, right? And then transitional run back to Hariyama. And I didn't have a problem with that. Because Kurigaki, she doesn't have what it takes to be the person on top. She's a good wrestler to protect and put in good matches when you need her to. You know, and this was fine. Manami Katsu, she's now, we'll call it, graduated from rookie status at this point in her career. Let me just double check this. She is a year into her career, year and a half, give or take. And so she's gotten out of rookie mode. She was trained by Leon and Azumi Hyuga on the back end of her career before she retired. And she's got new gear, and this is what I was talking about with the gear. She now looks like a totally different wrestler and someone we can take seriously. Not just this swimsuit rookie that you just go, eh, unappealing, don't care, they're going to put in this just match I don't care about. And Katsu with the new gear, totally different wrestler, totally different person. We all look at her differently. We look at her as a serious, maybe not threat to Kurigaki, but a growing threat in the ring. And they put in some good near falls, big splashes, good lariats. And Kurigaki gave her a good amount. So I enjoyed this, but I wouldn't call it good. Katsu still has to really find herself with this new personality. And now she's able to get out of the dropkick rookie offense. Then we had a match I think was a total misstep on this entire show. The semi-main event is a battle royal involving Sachiabi, Neko Nita, Miyako Matsumoto, Miyari Naito, Kazuki, Kayuki Horiyama, The Ham, Hamako Hoshi, and the eventual winner, Leon. Just straight up comedy, just a lot of nonsense, 8 minutes, don't waste your time. This is what I'm talking about. Could there have been a scenario where you put together your biggest, like, great, focus on the young talent you want to highlight for this joint show, but then in the semi-main event, here you go, you have Kairuki Hariyama and Sachiabe with Leon and, who else can we put in there? Kazuki, I guess, you know, when you got Ham, Miyako, and Naito. In Neko Nita. Well, Neko Nita, she gets pretty good later. Not quite this point, but could you have done a three-way? Could you have done a big, like, special tag? I mean, it's a lot of JWP wrestlers in there, but for a joint show, you got to have some of your veteran talent kind of be in something of importance or interest, and a battle royal just isn't it. Leon wins. We move on to the main event, which is Hanako Nakamori and Maki Narumiya taking on Nakajima and Shida. This match rocked too. Very enjoyable. Little on the short side. 12 minutes for a final. I think with the talent involved, I think this would have been a good opportunity to see what they could have done in like an 18 to 23 minute match. give me something main event worthy. They had plenty of time to go at it. We just saw Shida and Nakajima go 17 minutes in the semifinal match, kind of in the middle of the show there. So they're very much capable. And they can even do a lot of the same offense. Now, does Nakamura and Narumiya have that sort of experience? Well, damn good chance to try and see what they can do. And for the most part, the 12 minutes were very high offense, high octane. Maki, Narumiya, Nakamura did go back to the repeat well quite a lot. So that's where I really praise Shida and Arisa Nakajima on this end, because they were doing a lot of tag moves. They were doing running knee shots. They were really focusing on a strike offense mixed in with their tag moves. And that really made the match have a lot of legs to it. And that's why I think it could have gone a little bit longer. Because you can have Nakajima and Shida on the offensive for the majority of the time, just striking them. And have Narumi and Nakamura have like a couple individual try comebacks. And eventually they may get what happened with the finish. Was they took out, who'd they take out? I think it was Shida, because Shida's still the champion Ice Ribbon. They took her out, she's on the outside, and that left Nakajima all alone. And that leads to the big leg drop, big shining, was she using the flash wizard yet, Nakamura? I think she just hit her with like a fisherman buster. And Nakamura getting the big pin over Arisa Nakajima in 2012. I believe they're from the same class as well. So Nakamura, she's 6 years in, and where you'd like to see her at 6 years in is definitely a little behind a few other wrestlers that debuted in those mid-2000s. Nakajima, she was January 06. So, you know, same year, 6 months apart from each other, essentially. I believe both were trained by Leon. No, Nakajima was trained by Sachi Abi. Oh, that makes sense why I like her style so much. And I know Nakamura was trained by Leon. I don't really buy the Kairi Ito. I don't really buy that. That trainer. I don't think Nakamura was a frequent resident of the Ito Get Squashed Dojo, but anyways. Well, who knows? I mean, she is. Anyways, I won't throw any digs at one of my favorite wrestlers, but yeah, I was honestly surprised that the Nakamura Narumiya team won, and that was a good result, I think, because Nakajima's a rookie with. Not rookie, but. Re-debut rookie kind of deal, but she's clearly getting a big highlighted push of some kind to get her set up for something. You just don't know what it is. And she does the champion in another promotion. So you're not going to pin her. And then Narumi is on the rise over there. Does this give Narumi a room to challenge Shida? And does this give room for Nakamura to challenge Hariyama? Those are good questions to ask. But instead, this is what I was talking about on the last JWP episode. Instead, we're getting Kagetsu, a freelancer / Sendai wrestler, coming in for, I believe it's Cork and All, against Hariyama. Would it have killed him to put Kagetsu in a semi-main spot, even though it's a joint show? She is a freelancer. She's not going to rain down on a parade, but Hariyama's got a title defense coming up, and they got to build this sucker. And Kagetsu not being on an interpromotional show that will at least get a little buzz, at least in terms of fans, missed opportunities. But I went 2 out of 3 also on the final match, Nakamura pinning Nakajima. Very enjoyable, and I was beflummoxed. I was flabbergasted to hear Hanako, Hanako. The music. I was like, she's had this music for over 10 years now. All right, Hanako Nakamura, I demand an entrance change. Let's go. Let's do it. Make an album. Contact Tam Nakano. Let's get the Meltier soundtrack into your entrance. I don't care what it is. I need something new out of you. You're the champion in your own promotion. It's hopefully one of your best runs. Not anticipating greatness right now, but let's get some new music. But I'll go back to that attendance. 175. Just didn't have interest. Didn't have interest at the time. It's a show that's often forgot about in the history of these two promotions. Well, JWP is technically closed, but hey, if you want to listen to more JWP, Pure J podcast on the Patreon once a month, me, myself, and JPQ. And that'll do it. Our next episode is Stardom X Stardom 2012. Yes, we're going back to the Io Shirai stomping grounds and the current red belt champion, Nanai Takahashi. Let's see what hijinks they start over there. That'll be the next episode. I'll try to get that out much quicker than this one. See you next time, everybody.